being a smart aleck, and I got up on my pew to preach. I took off running, went to get up on a platform. It's only two steps or three steps, and I tripped when I got up there. Before I got to the, I land on my face right on the top of the platform, and everybody started giggling. I said, "Oh, God, forgive these wicked sinners. They didn't know I was stopping to pray, Lord." Yeah, just a few thoughts before we get into the word tonight. Someone once said, we want to know God's will in abundance or in advance so we can review it and see if it meets our approval. There is no free offer trial where you get 3 days to see if you like it or not.
Amen.
Someone else said, no place, no matter how perfect it is, good is a, no matter how perfect, is a good place outside the will of God. And no place, no matter how imperfect it is a bad place inside the will of God.
Amen.
Some people say, if I had more, I could be involved in Faith Promise. Well, if you're not faithful in what you already have, getting more won't help you. God's plan is for us to give first to Him, not to give if we have it in excess. And probably my favorite is this one right here. Don't try to fit your giving into your budget.
Right.
Fit your budget around your giving.
Amen.
That's the difference, amen. Go with me to the book of Luke this evening, please, if you would. The book of Luke, or book of John, excuse me. I have my mind stuck in Luke as I studied out Luke today too. But the book of John and chapter 5. John and chapter 5 this evening for a few moments. And if you would stand with me as we read from the Word of God, John chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 5. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever the first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Boy, 38 years he suffered with this. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that you would help us through this passage, God, that you'd have the honor and the glory, Father. Open our eyes up to some truths that we need in our lives as your children, that you may honor and glorify now in Christ's name. Amen. I want to look at the thought tonight. I have no man. I have no man. You may be seated. I have no man. A dying woman said one time to her pastor, will you please read the 23rd Psalm at my funeral and preach a short sermon on heaven? Well, yes, ma'am, he answered, I will, handing him the list of names she asked. Will you kindly ask these friends of mine to be my pallbearers? He said, I will, he replied, but they're all women, he said to her. She said, I know, but all my life I wanted a man. No man took me out when I was alive, so no man's going to take me out when I'm dead. I want men to carry mine, but not because they took me out, amen. Just saying. Hallelujah. According to John, Jesus has traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem in order to celebrate a feast or a festival. Could have been, because you know the Feast of Pentecost, we look at it starting in Acts, but actually there was a feast before that that they called Pentecost sometimes down through history. So it could have been the Feast of Pentecost that he was coming to, or the Passover, or whatever, but he's coming for a feast, and the Bible doesn't tell us which one at all. When he was in Jerusalem, Jesus went to the Pool of Bethesda, where a great multitude of impotent folk were around, or gathered. It says there were impotent, and then there were blind, there were halt, there were maimed around this pool, waiting to get in, hoping to get in to the water when the angel of God stirred the water. If you're reading out of something other than the King James, the attraction of the pool given in this verse is omitted.
Yeah.
The attraction of it is omitted, right, because it was thought by some to be added later. Can I tell you this? I just believe my Bible.
Amen.
Let's just believe what the Bible says. Amen.
Right.
There's this. What you said the other day, preacher, we were talking. What is broke in the King James Bible? Nothing. We don't need anything else. We got it right here in front of us, amen. For it says that the angel of the Lord would at certain season come down into the pool and trouble the water, and the first person to enter the pool thereafter was cured of any illness. I want to note three things this evening real quick out of this passage with you and a number of different thoughts. We're probably not going to go anywhere else in the scripture other than right here in this scripture tonight with you. You know how I am. A lot of times I'm 100 different places in an evening, you know, before I get done. But I want to stay right in this passage pretty much tonight with you if I could. And number one, you must decide if you want to be changed.
Amen.
Now listen to that. You must decide if you want to be changed. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou what be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? You know, before you got saved, that's what Christ was doing to you. Speaking to your heart, saying, wilt thou be made whole? Will you be set free from your sin? Amen. Be made whole. Be made what I want you to be. Do what I want you to. He tells us the same thing, though, as born-again believers. You're saved by the grace of God now. And Jesus is still in your heart, working in your heart, saying, wilt thou be changed? Want to be whole with me? Want to be right with me? It hasn't changed, amen, down through history. It has not changed. This seems a strange question. It really is a strange question to ask a man who has been sick and an invalid for nearly 40 years, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus never asked a foolish question in his life, so it was important for this man to answer him. Jesus never asked a foolish question.
Never.
Jesus was never wrong in anything he said. Amen. So the thought with this is because it is possible, Jesus maybe asked him this question, possibly, could be, maybe, not saying it is, that he does not really want to be changed from the past 38 years. This man has been a beggar who lived not by the pity of others. If he is healed, he would lose all of his income. Some people, when they get saved, back in Billy Sunday's day, when he would come into a town, you know, they would shut the bars down.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bars would shut down, no liquor sales. And sometimes a bar owner would get saved.
Yeah.
You know what they would do the next day? They go and sell their business because they didn't want to be involved in it anymore. Why? Because Jesus Christ cleaned up their heart. We must want to be changed. In the Middle East, in the Bible, times in some places, even today, a person who was healed would lose a good living. I've even read this before, that in some places in India, Africa, and the Philippines, parents are guilty of crippling their children so that they can earn a living by begging. How sad that is. You see it all over the place. You see that in different countries. Because if this man is to be healed, things are really going to have to change. He would lose his present securities, would have to be responsible now for himself. We don't like that part. We like to be saved, but we don't like to be responsible for our actions or our responsibilities or what we do. And we need to be responsible. And we would, and then listen, and then he's going to have to find work.
Right.
I was telling Preacher Dave, down in Adrian, Michigan, where we live now, there's an Applebee's down in town, and I saw a sign in Applebee's. In fact, I saw one in McDonald's a while back, almost saying the same thing. But Applebee's said, starting $15 an hour, after 30 days, $1,000 bonus. And you could not get people to work. You'd go in that store. My wife and I went there one time. It looked like it was closed. We pulled a driver, just a couple of cars. We went up and walked inside, and only less than half of the restaurant was open because nobody was working. There were no workers there. So they would have to, if somebody came, they would have to turn people away. It's amazing today what has happened in our society. People don't want to work. They don't want to do what they're supposed to do. They don't want to be involved in doing what's right. There's a story that was told, and I remember reading this years ago, about a young man back in the 60s. You remember the height of the Vietnam War when it began, 64, 65, back in that time period. He did not want to be drafted. Drafting meant that the government would tell you you had to come in to sign up for the draft, and if they drafted you, you had to go to war, and you had no choice. If you ran, they could arrest you and throw you in prison. You did what they told you to do. Well, this young man thought that if he pulled all of his teeth, it would keep him out of the military. So what? He went and he had all his teeth pulled, ripped out of his mouth. But when he took his physical, he was declared unfit because of his flat feet. And no teeth now. Yeah, can I tell you this? Sometimes we're just plain stupid.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't put that any other way. Isn't that right, brother? So we're just plain stupid. Well, I tell you what. This man is a representative of many people today, this fellow right here we're talking about. He represents many of us today, many people in the world today. Many people in the United States, many people in your city, many people in this state. Their lives are sick. They are paralyzed in heart and mind. Their lives are dysfunctional, but they have never considered that God might have something for them or something else for them. They have learned to live like this. They don't even know there is something. They don't even know there's something more to life. I saw a preacher in Florida a while back, a couple years back in the winter. And I'm going down the road, and I see a guy standing there with the sign, will not lie, need a joint. That's what it said.
Yeah.
Will not lie, need a joint. At least he's being honest, you know, telling them the truth. If you give me something, it's for drugs. Isn't that sad? I see him all the time. I saw one where a guy said, will not lie, need a beer.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, man, it's sad. What's going on? People don't want to work. They're not responding. They don't know there's anything else out there. They become satisfied with just existing. I don't want to just exist.
Right.
This man here in the Bible was satisfied, satisfied not just to exist because he was getting something for just existing. And sure, he might not have been able to make it down that water. And that's going to bring me to another point in a minute. Amen. We see that this even in life of the church today. And that's sad.
Yeah.
We've seen people attend church. They are respectful and seemingly excited about what is going on and what they're hearing, what they're seeing. Some of them are not saved, but they listen to the gospel. But there comes a time when they realize they do not really want to be changed. So they leave. They won't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Christians come to church. They see something they like. They hear something they like. But they don't want to change.
Right.
So they find a back door.
Yeah, exactly.
And many times they're not very kind about it.
Amen.
Many times they're nasty. Many times they try to hurt the preacher and the family and the rest of the church members. And they'll say things about your kids, you know, that might be true, but it don't matter. Amen. I'm just saying people are nasty out there today.
Yep.
And it's terrible. A preacher showed me a letter one time that somebody wrote. In fact, a guy wrote a letter about some preacher to me, and he was working on my truck. And I did not know. He didn't just say one word to me. About 3 months later, it had been raining outside. I'm in the back of my truck. I said, "What's this envelope? This envelope." I mean, it was nasty. It was you know, on the outside you couldn't see. I could just barely make my name out. Opened up. It was wet. You know, I could read what I just said, "Dear Brother Mike," and this letter deals with. And I just tore the letter up right there. I don't want to read it. Why do I want to read it? Why do I need to read it? I don't need to read that. Hey, guess what? I am on the preacher's side. When I come into the house of God, he's the man of God. He's the pastor of the church. What he asked me to do is what I'm going to do, amen? And I will stand up for him. You don't ever want to have me standing around the corner from you, around the corner, and you talking about your pastor when I'm around the corner, hearing what's going on, because he's going to hear what you said, and I'm going to tell you what you said is not right. We need to be children, godly people of God. Amen.
Amen.
We are the children of God.
Amen.
We not only must decide if we want to change, but you must decide not to continue making excuses. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." You'll notice that he did not answer Jesus' question. He simply complains about his condition. He really didn't answer the question.
Right.
Would I be healed? Well, I have no man to put me in the water. That's not what Jesus asked him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus said, would thou be healed? Yes. And the guy starts giving him excuses. Oh, you know, he tells how he is friendless. No man means he doesn't have any friends. Nobody to help him up, nobody to put him in the water, nobody to carry him down. He tells how he is flailing. "Well, I am coming." You know, I can see him just flipping around on the ground. "Well, I am coming." And no, that's not what Jesus asked him. He tells how he is frustrated. "No man to help me. There's no one to put me into the water. The angel troubles the water, but I can't get down there." What he does is whines about life instead of answering the question of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
You know, sometimes we whine.
Yeah, yeah.
He whines about life, doesn't answer the question. In today's language, we would say that he sees himself as a victim.
Yeah.
That word has become big in our society. They become big in our churches today. The word that we are familiar with over being a victim in the last few years is victimization. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah.
From even our own government.
Yeah.
They are people who continue to see themselves as having been dealt a lousy hand of the cards of life. So how can you tell if you're a victim? Well, victims endlessly repeat how they have been mistreated. They don't stop. Over and over and over and over again, that's what you're going to hear. Over and over. Anybody in here ever been mistreated besides me when I was growing up? You know, well, you know the feeling, don't you, Sister Karis? Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's when people get married. Sometimes it's later on. It might not have been by your parents or somebody else when you were growing up. But I know what it means to be a victim. Listen, it's over with. I'm a born-again believer saved by the grace of God. I'm going on with my Christian life. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to let it hinder me. I'm not going to let it take me back to drugs and alcohol. I'm saved by the very grace of God. Amen. And I'm not a victim anymore. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I've got victory because of him. Amen. But victims, let us repeat how much they've been mistreated. Victims live by the childish notion that life should always be fair. It's not fair. Life should be fair to me. No, life is not fair. You, by the way, you don't see the word fair in the Bible except when it expresses the idea of a fair maiden. That's it. Has nothing to do with not being fair or fair, what we see, what we think about it. Has nothing to do with a carnival down the street in the middle of summer. No, fair. They think nothing's fair. Nothing's fair to me. Victims find it difficult to forgive others because they see forgiveness as weakness. So they want, man, if they're a victim, they're not going to forgive you. You can even say, listen, I'm sorry, fine, whatever you, and walk away. And don't care. You can even say, please forgive me. Guess what? I don't care. They walk away. You still hurt me. You still did this. Hey, listen, get over it. Put on your big boy dresses and your big boy pants. I mean, your big girl dresses and your big boy pants. I know what I was saying, brother. Amen. I didn't know what I was saying, but I couldn't stop when I said it. So I just continued. Amen. And now you work. Amen. Doesn't that sound good, Michelle? That worked, didn't it? Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Victims find it, they find it difficult to forgive. Victims have difficulty maintaining close relationships because they have difficulty trusting other people. And victims always say this, it's not my fault. About how many times have we said that? Try that with your wife, it don't work. Well, we know that. You can't, listen to your man, you cannot do anything right. Get used to it now, amen.
All right, shake that bush for a while, preacher. Amen. Go ahead, park there a while. Go ahead.
If we are unwilling to accept responsibility for our lives, then it has to be a parents or my spouse or society, anybody but ourselves. It has to be their fault. It has to be my spouse's fault. It has to be my parents' fault. You know how many times I've heard, I even know of an evangelist that was up whining behind the pulpit and talking about how bad his parents were to him because they homeschooled him and he didn't learn how to read right. Well, you know what? You know why you don't learn how to read right? Because you don't read. All three of my kids were homeschooled, and they're smarter than I am, amen? You don't ever tell them I said that, amen? I will lie. Don't tell them. Oh, man, I'm hurting now, amen? But we blame it on our parents. We blame it on our spouse. We blame it on society. I can't get what that person gets, man. How they get what they get, and they're driving a Cadillac. Why are you worried about it? Be happy with what God gives you. You get what you want, you might not want what you get. Amen. You get what you want, you might not want what you get. Let me tell you. Well, I got what I wanted one time. A wife. No, I'm just kidding. We're coming up on 50 years.
Amen.
The same day your mom and dad were married, my wife and I were married the same time at night, about 6 o'clock that evening or so, we got married. And we're planning on going out to dinner together the Thursday night before our anniversary this year because it's Friday night, and that's when we got married. It was Friday night 50 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good? And she's still stuck with me. I don't know why, you know. She had to. They had to lock me up for her to find me to start with, but, you know. Because we blame it on everybody. We blame it on society, you know, and we blame it on everybody else, but we don't take the blame ourselves. You must not just decide you need to change. You might not just decide that you, you must decide not to keep making excuses, but you must decide whether you are ready to act.
Amen. Amen.
So look back to verse 8 and verse 9 where he says, Jesus saith unto him, after all this complaint, Jesus listens, and Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, what? Immediately, the Bible says, the man was made whole. Before he just made him whole. Yeah, you know what? He didn't lay his hand on this guy. He didn't rub spittle in his eyes. He didn't grab him by the hand. He just said, rise up and walk. And when he told him that, the guy didn't even start to get up yet, probably, and Jesus healed him. And watch what he says. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was a Sabbath. And, of course, you know the rest of that part of the story, I think. And later on, he finds him, and he tells him, you know, yada, yada, yada. And he does tell the man eventually, go out and sin no more.
Yeah.
Amen. So was it the sin that caused him to be crippled for 38 years? Or was it just the thing this, go out and sin no more? Don't sin to put yourself back in this situation. Who knows? Amen. He would have too. Again. You must decide whether you're ready to act. Jesus said, rise up, take your bed, and he rose up. The man had a choice. Can I tell you something? You make choices every day.
Yeah.
This morning, you made a choice to get out of bed. Now, I got out of bed at 3:30, but it was not my choice. I'm just saying, amen.
Yeah.
I was hurting and I could not sleep. I went out and slept in the preacher's chair, tried to sleep in a chair, was awake at 6:30 and he got up. I tried to sleep. I couldn't sleep because he never shut up, kept on talking to me the whole time. Just kidding, amen. He tries to do something, I'm always talking to him, you know. I didn't want to don't shut up. He says, how long is this story going to be? I said, another hour. You know. The man had a choice to make. He could listen and ignore. He could listen and hope. I hope he means what he says. Or he could listen and said, it don't matter, I'm crippled. Or he could listen and obey. Don't we all have that choice? How many verses in the Bible do you think are preached on from this pulpit in a year? Just think about that. You ought to add them up when you're a preacher, and then at the end of the year, see, man, I touched on all these verses. You know, just add up the verses for 1 year.
There's no way.
Yeah, because you preach the Word of God. And you have a choice when you hear the Word of God preached. You have a choice to obey or disobey, to receive it or ignore it.
Yeah.
You have the choice.
Amen.
What's sad
is
many people in the house of God hear it, believe it, but don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Let it go. In those words, the Lord was telling him, if you really want to change, something very important must happen. Do not make any provision to go back. Amen. Scores of people fail right there. Burn your bridges. Burn your bridges. Just cut off any possibility of going back.
Yeah.
I was telling the pastor tonight when I got saved, that when I got saved, immediately, the drugs quit.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And you know, I was addicted to a few things. Not just drugs, but a number of things. And God has helped me all these years to stay clean. Can I tell you what? I burned that bridge. I will never say I won't, but I will say this, but by the grace of God, I don't. Yeah. Amen. Because He knows my heart's desire. Right. And He's kept me faithful to that promise all these years. Jesus will tell them, don't go back. Scores of people fail. They want to go back. Burn your bridges. Cut off any possibility of going back. Just cut it off.
Right.
Don't do it. We have a little store in our town in Jefferson, Ohio, where I grew up, and I refused to walk in that store and buy anything. We're not going to buy a magazine. When I first got saved, I had struggled with cigarettes for about 2 years. We're not going to buy a pack of cigarettes because they have pornography all over that store. And then they sold liquor. So I refused to go in the store. And so I didn't do that, amen. Well, you go to a grocery store, yeah, but I don't buy the liquor. And that place there was more than liquor. It was filthy stuff in there. Didn't want anything to do with it. We need to make commitments. We need to stand strong. We need to cut off the possibility of going back. Don't put yourself in a situation where you go back. Scared my wife half to death when I first got saved, because when I got saved and got out of prison, I started witnessing to all my old friends. Once I witnessed to them, they didn't want to be around me anymore. But I witnessed to them, gave them the gospel. And there was a house that we used to go to in Ray's Corners, Ohio, right outside Jefferson, Ohio, where we used to go, and that was the drug house. And I went up there right after I was saved. Jenny said, where are you going tonight? She was bowling with the ladies from church, you know, that thing, bowling for blessings, jujitsu for Jesus, karate for Christ, you know. Mom was for missions, you know. So anyway, I went to that. I told her, I'm going out to the Chapin's house. She said, please don't go out there. So I needed to go talk to them. They need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
I think she prayed for me the whole time I was gone. She didn't go with me because I didn't want her to. I didn't want to expose her to that garbage. You know, knocked on the door. The kitchen was right inside that door. They opened the door up, and there was a young man sitting at the table, probably 21, 22. And he said, as soon as I walked in the door, he reached up with a joint to hand me a joint. And I said, I don't do that anymore. And he said this. He said, yeah, I heard you were a goody two-shoes Christian now. I said, yep, you're right. But it was called worse than that before I was saved. I'm glad to be called Christian after I'm saved, amen.
Amen.
And I went from room to room. There were about 13 or so people in that house. And I went from room to room to room to room to room, giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I left, never went back, and not one of them ever kept in contact with me, except one who eventually came out to hear me preach in Northeast Ohio,
amen.
John. The guy who owned the home came out.
Amen.
And it was a number of years later, and I was pastoring a church. I went back to do revival meetings. I'd been doing revival meetings when I was pastoring. I'd been an evangelist for 35 years.
Amen.
And he came out to the meetings, and I preached a message on hell. And I had a stepsister that got saved, and a niece that got saved that night, a step-niece. And then John was sitting in the back, and I said, if I could pray for you about your soul, would you raise your hand? He stuck his hand up. And then he put his hand down, and I prayed and asked God to save his soul. He didn't come forward. I got up and walked. He was walking out of the church. I walked out of the church, down the back steps, out in the front parking lot there, beside the parking lot. And I said, John, I said, so you raise your hand tonight. He said, yeah. He said, Mike, listen to me. He says, he lived in California for a while. Now, I'm going back to the age of the flower children, you know, and the hippies. You see, I wasn't a hippie. Well, I wasn't a hippie, and I wasn't a flower child. I was a long-haired redneck. We beat them guys up, amen. So,
yeah.
testifying here, telling the truth, amen. So, but so he I come down to the front of the church and I said, John, I said, I noticed you put your hand up tonight. He said, yeah, Mike. I said, why don't you just bow your head right here and trust Christ your Savior? He said, Mike, listen to me. He said, I've probably heard the gospel a minimum of 25 or 30 times.
Amen.
He said, I haven't gotten saved yet.
Yeah.
I said, John, I said, this could be the last time you will ever hear the gospel.
Amen.
Could be the last time. And he said, I know it. And he got in his car and went home. A couple years later, I was visiting in the area, and I went over and knocked on the door because I saw his car there. Was his wife was there. He was working, and she came to the door, and I said, I can't remember her name now. I got to talking to her. She said, well, John's been going out here to this, I forget what the name of the church was, a little church. I don't even know if they preached the true gospel, but she said, he's a believer now, and I never saw any evidence he was, but I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, you know. The point is, my friend, is we need to want to change, and that change in your life will show other people what they need, amen, what they need. You will not believe how many people in my home area, when I'm preaching there, come out to hear me preach. Come out to hear me preach because of what I was, not because of what I am, but because of what I was. They can't believe it. Amen. My brother just went to his 50th high school reunion, and he quit in the 12th grade, but they invite him anyway every year. I didn't make it to the 12th grade. I was 17, still in the 9th grade when I quit school. You know, so it tells you how smart I was. Amen. I'm really smart. So he went to the high school reunion, and they said to him there, here's what they said all the time to my brother Dennis. And not how are you doing, Dennis, not what's up with you. He said, how's Mike? Is Mike still in prison? Mike ever get out? What's Mike doing now? He said, I got so sick of that. They kept on asking, how are you doing? How are you doing? I said, that's right. I said, because I'm the good son. Amen. Yeah, you have to be ready to change. You can be, if you truly want to be, can be changed.
Yeah, amen.
You must decide that you want to be changed. You must decide not to continue making excuses, and you must decide whether you are ready to act or not to change. This man made some choices. Amen. We need some choices to make in our lives. How about let's make the right choices tonight? Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This evening, if you're here and you're not saved, not born again, not washed in the blood, I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. By the way, can I tell you this? If you're not saved, you know it. You know it. So if you're not saved, I'd like to pray for you, if I could, please. Is there anyone here tonight with an upraised hand would say, Mike, I'm not saved. I know if I die, I know I'm not going to heaven. Could you just pray for me? My prayer can't save you. My prayer won't save you, but I'll pray for you that you'd be obedient to the truth of the Word of God. Anybody like that right now with an upraised hand, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved or I'm not saved. I don't see any hands. I hope you're saved. Second question is this, Mike. Would you pray for me, because there are some things in my Christian life that need to change. Would you pray for me tonight? How about right now? Just slip your hands up in the air. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. God bless you. Others, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. There's some things in my life that need to be changed. Just let God do what he wants to do in your heart. Let him do it his way. Have his will accomplished. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to slip out and come to the altar right now. Come on, you just slip out and come. God bless you. Come on, slip out and come. You raised your hands, slip out and come. Let God do in your heart what he wants to do. Let him do in your heart what he wants to do. Just come. Just come. If you can't kneel, you can sit on the front pew.
Lord,
you can sit on the front pew.
Have thine own
Yes, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you might have your way in our life. Father, you be honored and glorified, Father. Pray for these up here at the altar, God. Help them, Lord. They want some things in their life to change. They want to do what's right. Or sometimes we hold bitterness, we hold anger, we can went all kinds of directions tonight. But Father, you don't need all that to speak to hearts. Your Holy Spirit does what it wants to do. Help us tonight to honor and glorify you now. Father, if there is one that's not saved, please have them talk to us afterwards, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yielded and still have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master. Today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way. Have thine own way, wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine, Christ only, always living in me. Amen. Once you look this way, y'all, thank you for being here. Are we off now, Brother Scott? Not yet? Okay. If you're watching, we can be a help to you. WBBCMichigan.com. These messages will be on the website. We do go through Rumble. I've been in YouTube jail too many times, so we got tired of that. So we decided we go to Rumble, and we've had a few, so if you can. But I hope it was a blessing to you. You know, there's some things, some thoughts there in that passage we don't like to see. Y'all know how many times I pray, help us to receive the word. And instead, what we do is we don't receive the word. And then we get mad at the preacher for preaching truth. That's what happens. And especially when you're not right with God. And that's what hurts the preacher the most, to tell you the truth, because he's standing there as the mouthpiece of God trying to help you. And you know yourself, there's been a lot of people we've tried to help over the years, and you just get slapped in the face. I will tell you, Brother Mike, I know life ain't fair, but you know what you get tired of? Get tired of getting kicked by the donkeys and the mules. Yeah, I've got other words for them. You're right. And we would never, the believer would never purposely kick anybody in the teeth. But I can tell you now, I know how it feels to get kicked in the teeth. That boy stood there, laid there, though. I don't know about y'all, but if I'd have been laying there, I'd have been talking to, if you were trying to get somebody, hey, next time that angel gets to stir in that water, can you help me get there? I wonder how many come by to try to help him and he wouldn't take our help. Anybody in here like that? Stop being sorry and stubborn and let people help you, especially believers that mean well. And there's a lot of good believers out there that they don't want no strings attached. They don't need you to pay them a bunch of money. Just have them bring me some meatloaf, Sister Rachel. That's the only fee I'll charge. But you know what I'm saying? Y'all, we're just sorry. We don't let people help us. We're too stubborn. And that's just stupid. You know what I wonder is where one of the disciples was at. Did they know about this feller? I guarantee you, this ain't the first time the Lord Jesus had this feller's name on his mind. See, he knew him from birth. So why is he there anyway? You ever thought about that? The sin, Brother Mike, might have been that he was in sin pretty bad, and that's what crippled him. You know, that's what sin will do. It'll cripple you. Did you know you can still walk on your legs and run on your legs and jump as high as you can and still be crippled? Something to think about. If he'd have got to that stirred water, would his being crippled have caused him to drown? I don't need the water stirred, and I'm not looking for the angel. I'm looking for the one that made the angel, commanded the angel, and told the angel how to stir the water. Did you notice that? Let me give you one more thing that I thought about, Brother. I preached from that passage a lot. One more thing. He said, I have not a man. Hey, with that thought, I don't need a man. I need a Savior. I need a friend. I need a buddy. I need somebody to come along and listen to me whine every now and then and not tell me to shut up. That's why I've told y'all. And Adriana, you've known me a little while. John, I don't know if I've known you as long as, but the point I'm trying to make is you can call me and whine. I don't care. I want you to. Because the rest of them will tell you, I'll suck it up, buttercup, or you want a little cheese with that wine. You ever think that that helps anybody? That don't help nobody. So tonight, when you go home, maybe take that passage and study it because you're going to see a bunch of stuff in it like you've never seen before. How far away was he laying from the water? What kind of clothes did he have on? If he's laid there 38 years, how did he get fresh clothes or was he still laying in the same rags he had laid in 38 years? By the way, that's what flesh will do when you're looking for a man or a woman. Instead of God, you'll lay there hopeless, helpless. Brother Mike, I hope you're writing all this down because that'll go good, that message of yours. Hey, y'all, that's a good message. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you. Y'all are going to take a look at it. You might find yourself being the one crippled laying there beside the water. You know, I look around this church. We've witnessed, we've knocked doors, we've handed out tracts. And we've invited. And they're all laying next to that pool. And God's is stirring the waters every time we open these doors and meet. But nobody trying to get in and get any help. I really firmly believe that crippled man, he didn't want any help. When help was just a reach away. You realize that? Father, we need your help because this crippled man tells every one of us who we really are. And I pray, God, we'd see the encouragement. I like that. Will that be made whole? But I tell you what, if I'd have been crippled laying next to that, I'd try to jump as high as I could begging for help. Lord Jesus, thank you for being my help. That as a little boy, you sent that bus and Lyle Goble and Norman Smith knock on my mom and daddy's door. So mom and daddy would see, they saw a babysitting service on Sunday morning, but they didn't realize the grace and mercy of God was being shown to them, sending that bus from Parish Bible Church down to my mom and daddy's house. Thank you, Lord, for coming to find me. Lord, help me not to be sorry. not to be so crippled, so silly and stupid that I'm looking for a man rather than a Savior. Help me, Lord, please. I need help. Thank you. And I pray that the word will be received into my heart and be changed tonight. I love you, Lord. If no one else listened to the message tonight, I think I did, Lord. There's a whole lot more to listen to, so I've got to go read that passage. As we go home tonight, I pray it'll be on our heart. Lord, maybe you'd even put it on our heart to be that one that goes and helps them that are by the pool, need help, and be willing to give them the gospel. I love you, Lord. Thank you. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.